Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Leventhal joining me this morning, editor-in-chief at Raw Story. The GOP presidential field is growing this week, Dave. Chris Christie and Mike Pence will be getting in, as well as North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. What do you make of these three new additions to the field?
Entirely unsurprising, Susan, at least to, you know, some of us who get paid for a living to watch this stuff in Washington, D.C., even if across the country there are a lot of people scratching their heads saying, well, wait, what's the point? You know, why are these people who are governors of states that we've never been to and we've never heard of these people running when Donald Trump is so high in the polls? And the answer, Susan, is that they still nevertheless see opportunity. Donald Trump, even though he is way ahead of the entire field, including Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, he faces some incredible legal headwinds. There's so much uncertainty, and Donald Trump's going to turn 77 years old next week. And I think you're going to see one thing in particular, which you haven't seen a whole lot of yet, but could be coming up, which is that a lot of these candidates are going to make the case that a new generation of Republicans needs to be the nominee for the GOP in 2024.
Does it seem that the more candidates that get in, it only widens Trump's lead?
Yeah, that's entirely possible. And that's the big fear of Democrats in particular that you talk to, saying, well, the more Republicans that enter, the greater the chance it is that Donald Trump is going to be nominated again and could be president again. But you know, you kind of have to like dig deep into the sport analogy and cliche bucket here and say, hey, you know, you win none of the games that you don't play. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And I think for many of these candidates, the ones that you just mentioned, others like Nikki Haley and Tim Scott, and you can even go down to some of the ones who are more fringy, Asa Hutchinson, Larry Elder, Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, these are all candidates who are running actively. They have money. They have at least ostensibly some ability to reach a national audience, mainly because of money or positions that they've had in the past. They're saying, well, look, if we don't do it now, then, you know, when are we going to do it? And it is, even though Donald Trump is running and he was the president of the United States, he isn't the president of the United States now. He is not the incumbent, and they see as good an opportunity as they're probably going to get potentially for many years.
By the end of this week, there will be 12 GOP candidates in the field for the 2024 nomination. What does it take to be a presidential candidate?
It takes a lot of time, first of all, and it absolutely takes money. So when you're running a national campaign like this, you don't need hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, but you at least need enough money to be able to hire a staff, to get around, to get to New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina and all the early states and actually have a presence there, too. So I think you're going to see some of the candidates who have entered the race suffer a little bit on that end. But, for example, mentioned Tim Scott. Here's a candidate who is absolutely, you know, stacked to the gills, relatively speaking, with early money and is going to be able to run and form a pretty substantial and sizable campaign. You've got Ron DeSantis, who has a super PAC kind of working in parallel to his campaign, one of these committees that can raise and spend unlimited amounts of money that is just filled with tens and tens of millions of dollars worth of cash. So that is all going to, you know, spell at least some trouble for Donald Trump, because they all can attack him. They can all put up ads in all these various states, and they definitely can hire lots and lots of campaign staffers and all the trappings of a campaign that is going to allow them to move around and make the case for themselves at this early juncture, and let's remember, Susan, that it's still about 7 months away before any voter is going to cast a vote in any of these Republican primaries. So there's a lot of time to fill between now and then, and lots of stuff to do to try to prove to those electorates in those early states that, you know, if you are Doug Burgum or you are Mike Pence, that you are a legit candidate and not just somebody whose name is going to be on the ballot, but not a whole lot more.
And then do they hope to stay in for at least the first few primaries just to see how they do? Is that historically, you don't see people backing out or dropping out until after the primary season gets underway?
I mean, it's possible we'll have some of these candidates drop out before they ever stand for a vote. Let's just think back to the Democratic primary in 2020. Kamala Harris, she became the vice president of the United States, of course, but she dropped out as a presidential candidate before New Hampshire or Iowa or any of those states. So, you know, there can be writing on the wall that these candidates see and realize, this is just going nowhere fast. So the best play that I can make is to bow out, try to do so as gracefully as one can under those circumstances. And I wouldn't be shocked, Susan, if there were at least a couple of candidates who just found out that, no, this is not going to be good. Just ask Scott Walker, if you remember him in 2016, the former governor of Wisconsin, who was an early leader in the polls, Jeb Bush, too, although he stayed in later. They got out pretty early, and Scott Walker just straight out flamed out before ever a vote was cast for him.
Yep, you're bringing that right back for me. I want to ask you about the Presidential Election Campaign Fund. That's that box on your taxes that you can check if you want to make a donation. Where does that money go?
Well, we have a new story up this morning that reveals exactly where it's going. And in shorthand, it's going into a big bureaucratic black hole. That money that you direct from your taxes to this fund, nobody has used this fund in any major way. No major presidential candidate in 15 years. John McCain in 2008 was the last candidate to really tap this from a major party in a general election. So as a result, this fund, we're reporting based on U.S. Treasury data, is ballooned almost to $500 million. So here we are talking about debt ceilings and national debt and budget deficits, and this money is just sitting there. So Congress could decide to repurpose it. It hasn't yet. We spoke to Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican of Iowa, who had some ideas for how that money might be repurposed. And hey, Susan, there's a lot of nonprofits who are like, the government would be great if you guys could, you know, maybe send us some of that too, because we could really use it if you're not going to use it. And then, of course, taxpayers might, you know, like a little refund too of that money. So lots of options, but no action.
And is there any attempt or any thought about taking it off the tax form?
Nope, not at this point. And the fund still exists, and presidential candidates can still technically tap it. There have been a few third-party candidates who have used the money, a few kind of fringy primary candidates in both the Democratic and Republican parties. But, you know, it's just a pittance of what they were able to get out of it, and really nobody who is serious. So the status quo will remain until Congress acts, and we all know how, Congress can take its sweet time to act on anything. In this case, it's been about 15 years.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Basketball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.